It is 93.3 WMMR in Philadelphia. Hello, everyone. I'm Pierre Robert, and we welcome you to another Pierre Presents right here at the Ardmore Music Hall. So thanks for coming. Our guest this afternoon, let me tell you a little bit about these guys. They hail from the Mile High City of Denver, Colorado. Nathaniel and his good friend Joseph here both moved to Denver from Missouri. That's where they were from originally. He started playing drums at the age of 7 when he joined his family's gospel band. By 13, after his father's untimely death, he began writing his own songs and playing guitar. But as many people know who've had any experience with musicians, making music doesn't always equate with making money, particularly in the early days of a band. So odd jobs are always interesting, and to pay the bills in those early days, he's worked at everything from being in a trucking depot, a plastic factory, being a carpenter, a janitor, and even a gardener. By 2002, however, the music had continued, and Born in the Flood was going around Denver. That was the first group. Around 2007, he and Joseph started performing as Nathaniel Ratliff and The Wheel. And the current lineup of this incredible outfit started coming together in 2013. By June of 2015, they had released their debut self-titled album on the legendary Stax Records. So cool. The lead single is SOB. Of course, it's a song that changed everything for the group. By November of 2016, there was an 8-song EP that came out, A Little More From. March of 2018 brought the latest record, which we're playing now, called Tearing at the Seams. And they are playing a sold-out show at the Mann Music Center tonight. But we're lucky to have the full band here with us today to play for you and to have some conversation. And so, we have Patrick Meese on the drums, Mark Schusterman on keyboard, Scott Frock on trumpet, Andy Wild and Jeff Daisy on baritone and tenor saxophone, respectively, Luke Mossman on guitar, Joseph Pope III on bass, and of course, Nathaniel on guitar and vocals. Please welcome to WMMR Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats. Good day.
You should. Can you write our Wikipedia?
That I don't even know.
That was amazing. This is your life.
This is your life.
Thanks, Terry. Sorry, I know you're not Terry Gross. I just
She does broadcast from this town, though, and Fresh Air is one of my favorite shows.
Will you put in a good word for us?
Oh, absolutely. I know her producer, so right. I will. this band, being 8 pieces, 9 pieces at various times, when you start a young band and your goal is to play, you're trying to get into clubs, but most of the clubs have small stages like this or even smaller. So in those early days, my first thought is, how do you squeeze this many players onto a small stage and make it work?
We've done a lot of things over the years, stacking amplifiers, keyboards.
A lot of butter.
Butter.
Grease it up. You know, it's funny. I was talking last night about our very first band, Born in the Flood, that you mentioned. In the first incarnation of that band, we had 2 drummers playing full kits. And we would show up not knowing how to do any of this stuff. And we were like, what do you mean you can't mic 2 full kits?
They're like, we don't have enough inputs. I was like, I don't even know what that means.
So the early jobs, we touch on a few of them. The gardening one is, I keep coming back to it, and I could see you as a gardener, but
he's been considering going back to it recently.
Yeah.
You've got something to fall back on. Well, what was that gig like? How did you get it? What was involved in gardening for you?
Well, I actually did it with a friend of ours, and I kind of quit the trucking business just so I could try to focus on music, and I didn't know what I was going to do, and then my friend Michelle was like, why don't you come work for me and my mom? And then right away, she's like, well, you're good at this. I'll pay you $20 an hour. And then
she hired me, and I was horrible at it.
Yeah. But we actually kind of just dicked around most of the time. We fixed the rope swing. I'd make flower arrangements from cut flowers. But then, there's always Evan Adolf, who's part of our crew and is actually our trainer. We actually work out to look like this.
We work really hard to look like this.
Oh, yeah. That's great. So, yeah, you'd be surprised.
He is a specimen of physical fitness, ladies and gentlemen. Let's hear it for Nathaniel.
Hey.
All right, everybody, let's do some burpees.
Yeah.
No?
No, okay. No, okay.
An exercise video is coming. But anyway,
I hope
sweating
so.
With the sweats.
Yeah. But
we're
I pulled my back doing nothing the other day, so I was like,
Do you still do any gardening?
I don't have a place to do it right now. I was actually in Montreal the other day, and I walked to Leonard Cohen's grave, and somebody had misplanted some pansies, so I replanted them and on Leonard's grave, and then played him a song by my friend Gregory Alan Isikoff. So, you know.
You played at his gravesite?
Well, I played it on my phone.
iPhone.
Well, I mean,
I brought a tape recorder of a live show that Gregory did.
You might have brought your guitar to his gravesite because you once said, I wanted to be Leonard Cohen. I'm just not that cool. Too much of a goofball.
Definitely. Well, yeah. Yeah.
So in those early days, in the first group, Born in the Flood, you guys got an offer from Roadrunner Records to sign with them. Now, I don't know of almost any young band that would refuse an offer, and yet you passed on it. Why?
Well, begrudging, our manager at the time was pretty upset. So,
yeah.
And at one point I was like, it doesn't really matter what amount of money they offer us. We don't really feel like it's the right thing for
us to do. What's that band that everybody loves but everybody hates?
Nickelback.
Yeah, they were the big band on that label. We're like, I don't know if and, we want to associate
like,
ourselves.
And then it was like that and like... man, what was it? It's like the band where they like paint in their face and stuff. Like not
Kiss,
Slipknot. So those are like
just didn't seem like the right fit. But it was hard to turn down. They were very sweet about the whole thing, and they kept sweetening the deal. And
we kept saying no.
We just we're like, let's go with a label that cares about artists. Rounder Records. Didn't work out for us.
Well, they dropped us.
But,
yeah,
George.
Whatever.
George Thurgood was on Rounder for a short while. So you guys have known each other since you were little kids, and the connection between you is strong. But, Joseph, you said in one interview I read about a kind of a turning point moment for you. Apparently back in Missouri, you both had jobs at the...
Subway.
At the local Subway. And you both had closing shifts. And each of you often would come to hang out with the other one while they were closing. Nathaniel came by with his guitar. Joseph, you were working, and this is a quote from you. You said, I was standing by the Gatorade cooler. I felt like God had grabbed me and said, you've got to help this dude because what he's been given is way too much for him to handle on his own. And from that moment, there's never been any question of us not doing this together.
You read the LA Times, didn't you?
I did. And first of all, I didn't know God called people dude, and I like that.
Dude. Well, Jesus
says,
was not white.
Let's
start off there. You know, at that point in our lives, we were both heavily involved in Christian churches, and it did at that point feel like, hey, man, this dude needs some dude to help him, because that's how God talks.
And also, if you've seen me do any normal task, you'd be like, this guy needs help.
Nah, we're two kids in a small town and found each other and just clung to each other and you know, like, never looked back.
Herman, Missouri, is that
Herman,
it?
Missouri.
Yeah, our moms are still both there.
Yeah.
My mom moved back.
Yeah. You have a tattoo of Herman on one of your arms, I believe.
Yeah, there. Some people are like, what is that, Wisconsin? I was like... They're not teaching geography anymore, are they? So, not even.
You don't know
the,
how to do cursive either, do you?
I can't read cursive, honestly, but neither can kids nowadays. So.
On MMR, we're chatting with Nathaniel and with Joseph. And the latest album, Tearing at the Seams, you've said that this record was often more optimistic than you thought it might have been, given what you were going through at the time. Did that surprise you? And you were going through a divorce at the time?
Yeah, I still am. They take a long time. So...
Best that you laugh about it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's something to whistle about, but I would, when people are like, oh, I'm engaged, I was like, you sucker. I was about to say something horrible. Just pay for it. Just pay for sex. Don't have a relationship.
Oh, you can whistle at that.
The album has been out for a while, and one of the songs on it is called Hey Mama, and I love the song, but that particular song is made even more special, I think, and it's not often the case with a song, but the video for it, which shows each of your moms, and it's as if they were in a day in their life. And it shows, I think, your mom, Nathaniel, looks like she was going to work as a seamstress. And
no, that's Joseph's mama.
Okay, sorry. And
still my mom, too. It's the same thing.
Okay,
same.
And... your mom was going to work at a restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the camera follows them through the day, and one of them smokes a lot. I don't know which one
that's
it is.
My
they
mom.
Both
okay.
do.
I also smoke a lot.
Okay.
Hey, can
but
I
I'm wondering... Who, it was directed by a gentleman named Rhett Rogers, and people can see it on YouTube if they haven't. But I'm wondering who came up with the idea, because it's really quite brilliant.
It was actually Rhett's idea, and Rhett used to be the bass player in the band when Joseph was a guitar player. Then we fired his ass and made him the videographer. So.
Yeah, it's worked out. Yeah, it was Rhett's idea, and it was a really tender idea, and... Honestly, I had some apprehension about our moms being so intimately involved in something that was going to be given to the world, you know. But he did a great job.
Yeah, I think you were like, Mom, you got to not read the comments.
Yeah, Mom, don't read comments. You're opening yourself up by agreeing to do this to the, you know, what anybody wants to say. And there's a lot of people that don't have anything better to do but say bullshit to other people online, so... she has read the comments, but she's only read a few negative ones, I think.
I think it's brilliant and tender and loving. But I'm also wondering how they got to be comfortable with a camera following them, each of them, all day. Because they look a little anxious at various times, but it also looks like it could be moody as part of a set piece. But it's clearly just them and how you get them comfortable doing that or pitch them even on the idea of doing it.
Well, that was Rhett, I think.
Yeah, Rhett's a...
He's a good friend of ours, and so both of our moms...
Are... He also looks like an Adonis.
Yeah.
That helps. Both our moms are like, oh, Rhett. What can I do for you?
Yeah.
They're both single.
One more thing about your moms. Your mom, Nathaniel, I believe one of her favorites is James Taylor, and you were on a benefit where you got to meet him, and I have to think she's insanely jealous about that.
You know, I'm still waiting from Rhett, who did the video. He did some photos with me and James Taylor, and... She was stoked just because I actually got to talk to him, and he was totally approachable, kind, and we connected with on a lot of levels as far as like just working a lot and touring. And so for my mom, you know, she's excited about that.
That's so cool.
That was the Hurricane Harvey benefit,
yep.
I believe.
Okay.
Lyle Lovett was there also. Which, you know, that guy is just a prince among men, I'll tell you. He's a real sweetheart.
The Marigold Foundation. Tell us about that.
The Marigold Foundation is something that we did. My dad loved marigolds, and they're just a lovely little flower. And what we're trying to do is just help people. Right now in Denver, we're an endowment, and we're trying to... There's a lot of homeless vets that live on the street that can't get through the red tape that they need to have health care or deal with housing, and they keep getting displaced. And so that's kind of our goal, to help them out. But right now we're just... working with other organizations that are helping those folks that are in need. And then really, I think our long-term goal is just to work with, you know, just there's a lot of issues with wage inequality and poverty. And, you know, it's something most of the United States is rural America, you know, and there's a lot of people without opportunity. And we have a government that believes to continue to create elitist systems and elitist societies and not... have opportunity for education or wealth or even a reasonable job. And then they make it hard for our veterans, and they come back and don't support them, and they're, you know, and they're just their health care. So
it's a great, great cause.
So
is there a website for it that people can learn more?
You know, I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay. I think it's MarigoldProject.org.
I'm a great spokesman for it. Yeah,
all right.
MarigoldProject.org.
You but, don't need to know, okay? You just don't need to know. I want to talk about the song that got things going for you, S.O.B., and the moment that it really took on another level would be the Tonight Show performance, and I believe that was August 5th of 2015. Jimmy Fallon had gotten a video from his friend of you guys doing S.O.B., and apparently Jimmy said, "This dude is insane. Where was this? Why wasn't I there?" He must be on television, and he invited you guys. You did come there and play, and it really seemed like it changed everything as a result of that.
Yeah, it was really, for us, you know, I had never done late-night TV. Patrick, our drummer, had with another band called Tennis. And so we were just kind of ignorant to the whole experience, and I remember getting makeup put on, just eyeliner, you know. I like the shine. I want my eyes to pop. So, but I was sitting backstage with one of the ladies who helped us get on the show, who's our publicist, and Jimmy kept like holding up the record and kept like interrupting his guest and playing it. And I was like, "Is this good?" She's like, "This is real good." Yeah. And I think by the time the show had ended, we had sold more pre-sales than any other records we'd sold in the past. So, and yeah.
Well, you know what it made me think of? Back in the Johnny Carson days of The Tonight Show, a young comedian could come on that show and do a killer set and begin his career, you know, sending it into a whole other trajectory. But you don't really hear that much about bands coming on the late night talk shows, at least recently. And I love that this was such a factor in you guys getting a jump to the next level.
It was pretty mind-blowing for us, too.
Yeah, so. And I think that video he saw actually was the very first performance of this band at the Bluebird in Denver, Colorado, which is kind of crazy.
Wow. A couple more questions before we let you go. You're on the legendary Stax record label now. It's been reformed. But you actually played on the EP a song at the Stax, I guess, museum, they call it. And in your writing, you've said, "I want to write like the band and Sam and Dave had a band together." And I think you've achieved that because when you look at the Stax artists, I mean everybody from Wilson Pickett, Booker T and the MGs was the Stax house band. Booker T, by the way, was on the stage just a week ago playing Sam and Dave, you know, Isaac Hayes. So many more were on that label. And you're on that label and you have a sound like when I was listening to the song Parlor, I could hear, some of those great artists in that song, and yet it's your own song.
Yeah, well, you know, I feel like we're all influenced by that, you know, that era of music was so interesting to me because it is the start of, just the start of rock and roll, and, you know, I always loved blues and doo-wop, and you can see the transition into this other thing, and Stax was just a huge part of their community. And brought a lot of people together, and that's something I really love about the Stax record label. And they're still working in their community now to try to make Memphis a better place and trying to get kids, you know. We actually were there, and they brought the kids, like Stax University kids.
They have a music program that they support in the town, and it's right next door to the museum.
And so all these kids from the community came out, and like they were supposed to do a Q&A, and then they like sang a song for us. I was like, actually, we don't know what the hell we're doing. You guys are amazing, you know. And but I just, you know, the Stax label is just a big part of history, and it's an honor to be a part of it, you know. So.
Two more questions that I have for you. One, in Rolling Stone, in the recent article, congratulations, nice piece on that, by the way. But you said in a quote, "I feel like I have a different responsibility than I had 3 years ago to my craft, to the people around me, and now to an audience." What do you consider that responsibility specifically to be?
Well, you know, I never set out to... I just never thought I'd be in a position to have a platform. And it is our responsibility to try to continue to create community and bring people together. And there's such a huge spectrum of opinions and ideas in this country. And, you know, I love America, and I want to be a bigger part of it, and I want the people in rural communities to know the people in urban communities, and for the more we're together, the less differences we have. And I think music is something that brings everyone together. And like I said, there's such a huge divide in so many different issues, and everybody has very strong opinions about it. But alienating people is not what I intend to do, but just to try to bring people together. And it's a surprise for us to have that sort of responsibility, I guess. Or, you know, maybe not responsibility, but opportunity. So
you said that you couldn't have handled what's happened to you in terms of the acclaim and the life changes that have come to you and the band if you were 20. But now that you're almost 40, you have a better grasp on it. But if you were 20, it wouldn't have gone so well.
Well, we had 20 years to become functioning alcoholics. You know? Dark.
Yeah. I was going to go somewhere different with that, but you're right, Joseph.
You can. It's
real easy, as you know, when you're a young person growing up, that things just go to your head. And even now, and the shows we play, and the people we get to meet, and opportunities we have, you know, like we got to go down into the vault of the Baseball Hall of Fame yesterday, and like hang out with the curator, and like I don't know. It was pretty rad to like to see parts of history, and not everybody gets to do that. And I don't know. And when you're surrounded by people like yourselves who are like happy for us to be here and are listening to what we're doing, it can definitely go to your head. So I don't want to take advantage of it. I just want to be a part of it. You know?
Yeah, so. It's really humbling. You know, like we worked. You guys all have different kinds of jobs out there, but I know that everybody in this room planned out at least today or maybe the last week to be here today, and it means a lot to us, you know, that you guys are all caring. And we see that everywhere we go, you know, that we get to do something that matters to certain people's lives, and we just want to do the best we can to honor that.
And in a recent brewery appearance, you even had a beer named after you.
Well, the Huge.
The Huge,
half
Huge. Yeah.
Half Huge. We're going to talk about the Huge, are we? All the proceeds of the sales went to the Marigold Project that day.
Very cool. My final question, Nathaniel, is it true that your uncle was a safecracker?
That is Joseph's uncle.
Oh, sorry. Joseph!
How deep
is it true?
He was definitely a safecracker.
That your uncle was a safecracker.
It was. There's a famous story in my family where he was in St. Louis County Jail, and there was a bank in the town that was run by a sole proprietor, and he was the only one that had the safe combination, and he died. And they didn't know how to get into the safe, so they got my uncle out of... They're like, hey, it's a blah, 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 blah kind of safe. What do you need? He's like, I need a shoelace, an avocado, and a toothpick. And then they took him out of jail and took him to the bank, and he cracked the safe, and they took him right back to jail. I was like, you didn't get him like a Happy Meal or nothing?
Yeah, wasn't that he just wanted a cheeseburger? He was like, yeah. I got a cheeseburger.
He also one time broke out of jail in Kansas, and his buddy was supposed to pick him up, and he wasn't there, and he got on a city bus in a city he'd never been in and rode the bus for hours, and finally was like, I don't know what to do, and he got off the bus and went to a payphone and called his buddy, and he was right back at the jail. So, you know.
I think there's some songs in there, at least about the safecracker.
Oh, yeah.
I just suggesting. We want to thank you for spending some time chatting with us, and we're looking forward to hearing some music from you. Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we continue with a musical portion of our afternoon. Please welcome Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats.
I don't know. Everybody. This next number is called A Little Honey. Thank you.
get there. I'm on fire today. No one here to call, but you can put me on. I find them bad away. Am I crazy or the wind is gonna blow me down? I've not seen before. You get so kind of way, like love is new to bodies, but still touching. This ain't that kind of way. You build walls around your heart to try to lock it in. I'm gonna leave it all out there. Their cities in the plains. You got time, you're on the man, babe. Everybody wants the same.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Daisy, Andreas Wild, and Scott Frock. Can I hear you, gentlemen, for a moment? Come home, what'd you say? Hey. know. Babe, I know. Baby, I know that the course has drifted here. I can say I'm Glenn, lost for the sand, you see. Baby, I know I'm on time, my throat's so dry. Sail around here, the syrup's just beer, you see. Baby, I know.
Thanks, everybody.
Now, this next song is called Say It Louder, and we just want to dedicate it to the kids who are trying to change gun legislation in order to have an opportunity to be safe in their schools.
Say it clear.
Thank you, guys.
So I say thanks again, everybody, for coming out today. Like Joseph said earlier, I know most of you probably have jobs and you took your time out to do this for us, and we just want to say we really appreciate it so much. Thanks for letting us be a part of your lives. Thank you guys so much for being out here today with us. We love you very much. You guys want to hear another song? I wish we could play for you all day, but we actually have to go to sound check like pretty much immediately after this. So, but hopefully we'll see some of y'all there tonight. Anybody coming tonight? Awesome. Well, thank you guys once again just for being here with us here today and for your time. We appreciate it. But here's another tune for you.
Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats, ladies and gentlemen. That was Patrick Meese on the drums, Mark Schusterman on keyboards. You heard Andy Wild on the baritone. You heard Jeff Daisy on the tenor saxophone. You heard Luke Mossman on guitar, Joseph Pope III on the bass, and, of course, Nathaniel on guitar and vocals. Our thanks to the great Ardmore Music Hall and our professional recording friends, which was provided today by the great crew at Indre Recording and Production, Michael Comstock and Company. Video by Sean McDonald and Newman University. Sponsored by the great beer, the new Sam 76 from Samuel Adams Beer. We thank the Concord Music Group, and that is Stax Records, Karen Durcott, and Aaliyah. And our engineers, Rodney, Robin, Kathleen, our Emma Marmy, Al, Rick, Rachel, Todd, and Eric. And Eric and Todd are our promotion directors. Bill Weston, our program director, Chuck D'Amico, Sarah, Joe Bell in our sales department, Brent Porsche back at the radio station for carrying on my program today, Pancake for production and producing the whole program, and I'm Pierre Robert, so 93.3 WMMR in Philadelphia concludes another Pierre Presents. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you for listening as we've continued to broadcast all kinds of young bands through the years. And you never know, in 10 years, you might be able to say, I was at Ardmore Music Hall on June 6th of 2018, and I got to see that band when they were just getting going. Thank you so much. Have a great afternoon. Thanks for listening to MMR.